Invite you to stand as we hear God's word. This morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 5, on this first Sunday of Advent. What was the name of the candle? Prophet's candle. There's two names for it. Prophet's candle. That's where this comes from in Isaiah. It's a prophecy that is being shared here by Isaiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Heavenly Father, as we gather together here this morning and we hear the words of Isaiah, your man, your prophet, your mouthpiece, for the Jews of his day, the people of his day, as well as for us now today, may your word fall on good soil and in hearts that are receptive to hear from your word today and to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you were following along in the Bible or your own Bible, you would notice that when you came to the word branch, it's capitalized. At least the B is. Some translations, the whole word is capitalized, and I just want to point that out to you because that's kind of what we're going to focus on here today, is something we don't really hear much about along the way, but it's where Isaiah is talking about a branch. Branch here, as it's capitalized, it is a messianic name for Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Messiah, who we'll refer to as the branch. And we are probably familiar with hearing the word Messiah. The word Messiah is from the Hebrew word. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word Messiah is referred to as Christ. They're the same. Messiah and Christ are the same. The Messiah means the anointed one. When we think of the kings of the Old Testament, they were all anointed by a prophet with oil. And that meant that they were chosen by God to lead the people for whatever would come their way. He is the leader, and he is anointed by the Lord to represent the people as well as to go before God looking for wisdom and understanding how to lead them. The branch that is mentioned in Isaiah is talking about the Messiah that is to come and who will deliver the people from their enemies and who will rule over them as like no other one has ever done before. King David was their best king and the greatest king, but the Messiah will be the ultimate king. He will be far above King David. And what makes this so amazing in our text today is that Isaiah makes this prophecy, he talks about this 700 years before it actually takes place. That means there's a number of generations who came and who've gone who never saw the fulfillment of what Isaiah is saying here. Which makes you think about Simeon, the old guy in the temple when he saw Jesus, and his eyes just lit up. He says, I finally have seen the salvation of the Lord. Now I can die in peace. Isaiah is speaking to the people of his day in a very difficult time in their existence as a nation. They knew that God had promised them a kingdom that would last forever, that would come from the line of David. You go back, I believe it's in 2 Samuel chapter 7 is where you'll find that. And it's a kingdom that's described as one that the Messiah will come through, and he must come through the family of David. So there's a lineage that must be followed. And in that lineage of a Messiah, it's got to come through David, King David. And so that's why we look in the very first book of the New Testament, the very first chapter of Matthew, and you'll find that the very first chapter of Matthew has a bunch of what? Bunch of names. Now, have you ever read all those names, or you just kind of skip that chapter and go to chapter 2? It's easy for us to go like, oh, it's all names, I'm just going to skip that and just go to chapter 2. But it's there for a reason, that lineage, because it goes from Abraham all the way up to the last person in that lineage, verse 16, where it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ, or the branch, is being referred to. And I don't know if you listened to Dr. David Jeremiah this morning, but he talked about the first chapter of Matthew this morning. And I go like, he's stealing my thunder. But he had some great things to say about the first chapter of Matthew. Very, very significant things. There's a reason for those names to be given. Now, I know that a number of you have probably been to a family reunion of one sort or another, right? Do you have family reunions here in Iowa? All right. Why do you have family reunions? You know, it's just to get all of your relatives together. You know, there's someone usually in the family that likes to write out the tree, the family tree. And they go back as far as they can, and the trunk will go back to the earliest person that comes up in the lineage of your ancestry. But off come the branches. And your name is going to be found in one of those branches, then with your kids and grandkids. And you know what? The tree can be quite large. But you can also look at who's on the main trunk of that tree and go like, that's the person responsible for this mess of a family. They started it all, you know? But we're familiar with what a family tree is. And you kind of look to see where your name is at on that tree. And you just kind of study it. And you look at other ones, you just kind of realize how large your family is, or kind of where they branched off type of a thing. That's really what we see here in our text, referring to the Messiah as the branch. There was no sign or indication that God's promise to David was alive anymore in Isaiah's day. They knew that God had made a promise, but this kingdom just seemed to elude everybody, and they go like, I just don't see what's even going to be possible anymore. Because Israel at one time was a very prosperous, growing, and thriving nation under David and Solomon, his son. And right now in Isaiah's day, at best, the people of Israel are like a stump. Now you know what a stump is? A stump is where a tree once stood. It's been sawn down or chopped down, and usually when you see a stump, that's all there is, a stump. It's not the prettiest thing. And there's nothing that really grows on a stump. But it will tell you that there once upon a time was a tree that grew there, that lived, because the stump is what's left of it. As far as anyone is concerned, when they look at a stump, they say that the tree is dead. We don't know what happened to the tree, we just got the stump. For the Israelites, this meant that there was no hope. If God's promise has turned into a stump of where once was a promising tree, there's no more hope for us as a nation. But notice in Isaiah what he says about Jesse. He talks about the stump of Jesse. Now, you know who Jesse is? When Samuel went out to look for another king, because Saul was the people's choice and was the wrong choice, that he went to look at Jesse's household, and he had 12 sons. And they came before him, and he said, no, this isn't going to be the one that should be the next king. He said, you got anybody else out there? He goes, like, yeah, there's just a little runt in the family. He's out with the sheep. And that was David. And they said, bring him in. And when he saw David, he knew that that would be the next king, God's anointed. And the promise would go to him and his family line, that they would then be a part of the coming Messiah that was promised, whose kingdom would reign forever and ever. You've probably heard the Handel's Messiah that comes around like every Christmas, you know, and the choir that sings it, you know, King of Kings, forever, forever, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you know how that all goes, and it just, there's just a real crescendo that goes with that, and it just makes you want to just jump out of your seat when you hear that song, to just applaud, of saying that this is the Messiah that has been promised. He has come to us in Jesus Christ. The Jews are still looking for a Messiah today. I want to read to you some of the other prophets in the Old Testament. Jeremiah is one that talks about the branch. Did you know that? Jeremiah 23:5 says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David's righteous branch. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days and at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, chapter 3, verse 8 says, I am going to bring my servant the branch, capital B. And Zechariah 6:12, here is the man who is the branch, and he will branch out from this place and build a temple of the Lord. Jesus talked about a temple. He said, you know, the people were looking at how beautiful the temple was and magnificent it was. It took like 46 years or so to build. And Jesus says, well, the day will come and we knocked it all down, but he will raise the temple in 3 days. And of course, he's talking about his own body. When he dies, he rises again from the dead 3 days later. In the time in which Jesus was born, it was under Herod the Great. He was king. The nation of Israel did not exist, for they were conquered by the Romans. The people of Israel had not heard from God through any living prophet for 400 years. No soundboard, no prophet coming forth of saying, this is what God says. That's it. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's 400 years of God being silent. History still is being made, but God kind of just kind of zips his lips and doesn't say much. Doesn't say anything for 400 years until Jesus comes onto the scene. So as a nation, even when Jesus is born, they're only a stump, but now there is a new shoot that comes out of that stump, who is Jesus himself, the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one that people have been waiting for. The words of Luke tell us that this branch, in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, it says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus is the only one that fits the description given way back in 2 Samuel of the kingdom that will last forever. And he is that Messiah through David. You know, when we look outside, even at this time of the year, what do you see besides snow? But you look at the trees, they all look dead, don't they? There's really no life to the trees if you look outside. There are no leaves, there are no flowers, but the trees are still alive, aren't they? They're still alive. When it looks like nothing is happening, God is still at work. It can happen that way even in the church sometimes. Like, it doesn't seem like anything's happening around anymore. It doesn't mean that God quits. But God is still at work somehow, some way. We just don't see it quite yet. The tulips, are they blossoming this time of the year? Dumb question. I think I planted over 200 tulips this fall. Can't wait till spring comes, because I will always look for the first signs of spring as I see a tulip come poking through the ground. But now there's none. But in due time, they'll peek through the ground, and when the cottontail chews off the top of it, that's when I shoot them. I don't wait 6 months to see a tulip and have a cocktail come and eat off the top, and that's the end of it. But right now, everything is dormant. The trees are dormant. The perennials are dormant. But in the spring, we will know that everything is coming alive. The shoots will be there. The buds will be there. The flowers will come. And that's what happened when Jesus came onto this earth. New life. And he's the one who forgives us of our sins, and he gives us new life. A shoot says there is life and that there is hope. And if a shoot takes place, we know in time there will become a branch, and then that branch, it will bear leaves, it will probably flower, and it will bear fruit. When we come to believe in Jesus Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit, who will produce in us spiritual fruit. In Romans chapter 11, I believe, it says that we who are Gentiles are grafted in to the branches, into the lives of the people of Israel, and salvation was given to, that even the Gentiles can be grafted in to have salvation, because Jesus came not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And so if you're a believer here today, you've been grafted in. You once were a wild olive shoot, but now you've been grafted in, and you're one of Christ's followers. Some of you have seeded a lot of wild oats in your day, but because of Jesus, you now produce good oats that can be used for a reason and a purpose. Because he's forgiven you of your sins, he's forgiven me of my sins. And so the branch, are you grafted in to the vine that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branch can do nothing. It gets all of its nutrients from the root and through the vine. Jesus wants to be that for you this morning and every day. Where we say, everything that comes to me, it comes through Christ that he gives to me. I can do nothing. He gives it to me. He gives all of it to me. Forgiveness of sin, my salvation, my new life, it all comes from him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the branch that we can be grafted into Jesus. Lord, how we need him each and every day. We just have celebrated Thanksgiving with family or parts of family, or maybe family couldn't make it because of the weather, but we are thankful because of who you are, that you have come. And as we look forward to Christmas, that we celebrate your birth, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And you lived among us, and you became one of us. You kept the Ten Commandments perfectly, where we cannot say that we have. Lord, we are sinners in need of your forgiveness in our lives. We acknowledge that here today. We acknowledge that when we come forward to receive from your table, that we need forgiveness, and we need your strength and your help in our lives each and every day. So we thank you for the branch that Isaiah talked about, but we know who that branch is as we look back to the cross, we look back to the resurrection. We see from a different perspective as we look back. Well, the people in Isaiah's day had to look forward. We look back. And we can say with 100% confidence, the branch is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who came because he loved me. He forgives me, he believes in me, he will help me.